Our scripture text this Christmas morning is taken from the Gospel according to John. John chapter 12 in verse 46 will serve as our text. John chapter 12 in verse 46. We read, "I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." Now, to get the context of this particular scripture, we'll begin reading in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John in verse 42. "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out and said, 'He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak.'" So here we have it in Christ's own words, the reason for his coming: to save those who are ready and willing to believe. Notice to whom it is that these words are spoken: Pharisees who did believe, but stopped short of confessing Christ. Or at least were prepared in some sense to give Christ a hearing. Because it was not popular to be serious about faith in Jesus Christ, they did stop short of confessing him. Now, it is not popular in the 21st century American culture either to be all in for Jesus. One can get away with mentioning the name of Jesus Christ today because it's Christmas. But if you try to do it tomorrow, it may not go so well for you. These secret believers, if indeed they were believers, were either truly saved cowards, or they were really not possessors of saving faith at all. For what do believers do, according to the Apostle Paul? They confess with their mouths that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God their Savior. Before leaving our introduction this morning, let us take note of the clear teaching of the deity of Jesus Christ in our passage. Though God the Son was sent by the Father, he is equal with him in his sharing of the divine nature. For what did the Son of God say? "He who sees me sees him who sent me." Those who were privileged to walk the earth in those days had special opportunity to see the incarnate God, Jesus our Emmanuel, to whom we sang, "God with us." We, as it is, see him by faith. For faith is the evidence of what? Things not seen. Let us reread our text. "I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." There are two very simple applications that arise from our text this morning. Let us not try to overcomplicate the Christian message. First, in the presence of Christ, there is light. Secondly, in the absence of the presence of Christ, there is only darkness. In the presence of Christ, there is light. The glory of the Lord shone around the shepherds because God the Son had now come to dwell among men on this, the first Christmas morn, through the tender mercy of God with which the dayspring from on high has visited us. The light of the presence of Christ is just as real and just as personal today as it was 2,000 years ago. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The Word of God became flesh. And the Word was not only the agent of creation, not only the agent of salvation, but the perfect reflection of the glory of God. This light that the Lord shines in the heart of believers are to be seen in the lives of Christians, not only on Christmas, but every other day as well. If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down and He be the light, and He is, then we are the reflectors of His light. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Whoever believes in me, said the Lord, should not abide in darkness. Now, to abide is to remain with or to live in a particular place or a particular state. Now, in the absence of Christ, there is darkness. Those who have not the Son of God shining His light into their hearts and through them are living in a state of perpetual spiritual darkness. Living life without the Lord is to choose spiritual blindness. Now, there are those who are born blind, and this is for the glory of God. Was it not for the man born blind in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John? But to be spiritually blind is a choice. A choice that arises from a decision to reject Jesus Christ as God's Messiah, the one mediator between God and men. Of such people, the Scripture says that they meet with darkness in the daytime and grope at noontime as in the night. Not only is life utterly dark without Christ on this earth, but so too is eternal life characterized by darkness, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. And those are the good parts for those who choose to reject the light which Christ so clearly presents to you this morning. The wicked will pass from life, having lived a life without purpose, in the dark, into the blackness of darkness forever. Sadly, there are many who claim to be Christians, but they live out their lives in darkness. God knows whether such folks are really His. Some may be saved by the skin of their teeth, but I'm afraid that most of them are simply guilty of false profession. And it's been my experience that it is much harder to present the gospel to somebody who thinks they have the light than somebody who has no knowledge whatsoever, that is, intellectual knowledge, as to what that light may be. This seems to have been Christ's experience, particularly with the Pharisees as well. If you are truly wondering if this is your case, if you're not sure whether the light of Christ abides in you, if you're thinking about it this morning, then I'm happy for that, because this is evidence that you have not yet quenched the Spirit. You have not yet put up such a wall to the convicting work of the Holy Spirit of God that He cannot reach you at all. That I would be happier still if you would lay aside your own pride and consider what it is that God has done in sending His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to save sinners, of whom the Apostle Paul was chief, of whom the preacher is chief, and of whom I pray the Lord has convicted your heart that you too are chief. And if a sinner, so then you need a Savior. Well, unto you this day, a Savior has been born, Christ the Lord. Do not the angels testify of these things? So too ought we, being created, in a sense, lower than the angels, and yet the Savior, Jesus Christ, came down and condescended to be born a man, not an angel. And He died for men and not angels. And so when the angel sins, what happens? They're confined to Tartarus. Everlasting destruction. There's no provision for angels. But yet, there's provision for you and I, friends. No matter how much you have sinned, no matter how great a sinner you may be, there is a Savior who is a greater Savior than you are a sinner. And He has paid for all of your transgressions once for all. One may say that I am not such a great sinner. I am not so much a sinner as any other man, or not more of a sinner than any other person. That may be so, But our comparison, friends, is to him. The standard is set forth at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. If we say we have fellowship with him, and we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. May all the things spoken this morning be a challenge to you, and a reassurance, I hope, for those who are of the household of God, according to your spiritual need this Christmas morn. Let us leave off with our text, the words of Jesus Christ, who said, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your wonderful works, not the least of which, yea, even the greatest of which, was the sending of your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to save me. Let those who are able to speak this thing be reassured of your abiding and loving presence. Eternal salvation. And let us go forth and do the works of him you sent while it is day. For there is a night coming when no one can work. We pray your blessings and peace upon this place, upon our families, and upon our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.